So today is week number 3 in our journey of Christmas peace. We'll be touching it again next week, and then on the 29th, it'll be kind of we'll transition Christmas peace and the ever-bending road, transitioning toward our 21 jumpstart the first weeks of January. But today I want to talk about the importance of the power of the waiting. We'll relate it to the Christmas story for sure, and just the unfolding of God's purposes and plans throughout. So I want to begin by reading a familiar passage in Matthew with some comments, I'm sure, and then we'll move on. So this is picking up the story in the middle of it all, and this is when Joseph was considering divorcing Mary privately because of the discovery that she was with child. And it picks up in verse 20 saying that as he considered this, doing what he thought best, in other words, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And by the way, I was just thinking about that as I was reading that, and it occurred to me it would be proper to say, as he considered this, the angel of the Lord interrupted him in a dream. Has the Lord ever interrupted you? That's what he does. Even sometimes when we're expecting him, we're expecting him here, but he interrupts us in a different way. So bear that in mind. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Isn't that the good news of Christmas? That's the story. God is with us, and because he is, he can be in us. He can live in us and through us. Waiting. How are you? Are you a good waiter? Just asking. As a young child, it's getting harder and harder to remember when I was, like some of you. But one of the toughest things about the Christmas season for me was waiting. And my parents, as I look back, were probably trying to develop that trait, that characteristic within us. And so now there probably was a method in their madness, but I thought they were just tormenting me. Because they were kind of last-minute shoppers and droppers, you know, and I kept waiting and waiting for the presents just to be placed under the tree. Only, you know, I wasn't even sure they were going to arrive. They finally did, and then slow motion happened, and it seemed like ages before Christmas Day. And we didn't have a certain time, but sometime on Christmas Day we would eventually getting around to open those gifts. I must confess, and I sometimes have to be careful what I say publicly because it's recorded and I'm reminded family and friends know what I'm saying and they can fact check it or whatever, or get their feelings hurt. But many times I told my brothers for sure, I said, you know, our family, we may trend toward quantity, a bunch of gifts, but definitely not quality. I mean, I was just disappointed time and time again. Those things I wanted were never there. They were never there. But you know what I did? I kept waiting and getting my hopes up every single year. And it's hilarious now because how many of you that are my age range know that some of the things that were done unto you, you now do unto others. And so my kids can testify that it was kind of a thing, and I didn't realize it. I probably was relating back to that. But Christmas morning when we would all be at our home and we'd sleep around the tree, whatever, and with the addition of grands as well, I'd get up, and they wanted to rush and do the gift thing, but I'd just poke around and take my time and shower because, you know, it's just not holy to open gifts and be dirty, you know, and be all messed up. But just take our time, and they would moan and groan and act like they were being persecuted, and I just wanted them to know that I'm doing to them as was done to me. I'm trying to help them. I'm trying to help them develop the character trait of waiting. Good things happen in the wait. It's a fun tradition as years go by. Waiting. You have your own memories, I'm sure, but waiting patiently might be one of the greatest disciplines there is in life, I think. And I think it's needed, but it's seldom easy. Especially, I would say, when it comes to all things spiritual regarding God. Because waiting often leads to wondering, W-O-N-D-E-R. But then sometimes it can transition into wondering, W-A-N-D-E-R, like wondering away, being disillusioned, disappointed with God, whatever the case may be. It can lead to wondering and wandering. And so maybe that's where you are today because of life circumstances. You may be thinking deep down, whether you would speak it or not, where are you, God, in your lonely moments? What in the world is taking so long? Why did this turn events happen? Did you even hear me when I asked, when I made this request? Have you forgotten all about me, little old me? And Pastor Andrew prayed into this morning, and I'm aware that any time I stand here, sit here before you, there are all kinds of life circumstances going on, and there are now. There's some of you that I'm longing to get a hug on because I know you've gone through stuff just this last week, and I'll do that. But it's hard because things don't always line up, and especially seems that they're magnified this season of the year. It really does. The losses are seemingly more magnified, more intense. Maybe for you there's physical things going on, and you've prayed and cried out and they just seem to persist and there's no answers, there's no diagnosis, or maybe there has been and it's devastating, you're in recovery, whatever the case may be. You've prayed and cried out, you've fasted for a loved one that's far away from God, but this season it seems like they're further than they've ever been. A job situation you prayed into and asked God to change your situation, but it's still there. That boss is still there, it's still unreasonable, it's so frustrating. Do you hear me, God? Maybe you long to be in a serious relationship and there's nobody on the horizon. You long to be married, but there doesn't seem to be any candidates around. And maybe the marriage that you have is not what it needs to be, and you know it, and they know it. Or maybe even today you deeply desire to be with child, and that hasn't happened, and it's so discouraging and overwhelming. Whatever, you can put your life scenario into this. The whole idea of waiting. What's happening while you're waiting? Because probably if you're a person of faith and understanding, you probably believe deep in your heart that God can, but you also know that he hasn't. And maybe you're even feeling this morning the despair of this, that he won't. You may be asking why. Why is he making me wait? It seems so harmless, what I'm asking for, what I desire. How could what I want not be aligned with your will? And you're painfully aware of this fact. God is absolutely not limited by time and space, and all things are possible with God, but what about me and mine? And so with that in mind, being human, we never get over being human, ever. This is how people in the Bible days, I think, must have felt as I've been thinking about this story, when they were waiting for the promised Messiah, keeping hope alive because the Bible said, she will, not might, not should, but she will. It will happen. Old time, she will give birth to a son. The coming Messiah, the Savior of the world. Can you think of, in your mind, when the first time prophecy touched that in the Bible? Can you think of when that might be? I would suggest that you look no further than Genesis chapter 3 when it tells the story about Satan tempting Adam and deceiving Eve and how she tumbled and Adam with her and they were deceived by the enemy. And then this pronouncement was upon him. After this deception, he was cursed to slither in his belly in the dirt the rest of his days, to eat dirt, if you will. And it says carefully, and you need to think about this. This isn't often magnified in Scripture, but it says the serpent would strike the heel of Eve's seed, but Eve's seed would crush his head, would bruise his head. Who would that seed be? Jesus. I'm reminded, years ago when we were doing Easter ministry, we did 8 consecutive years and ended up with 15 or 16 performances, and it just was so life-giving, and so many of you contributed over the years. But in the midst of one of the seasons, and I don't remember the exact year, but The Passion of the Christ came out. Does anybody remember that was? And believe it or not, that's the first movie that I ever attended in my life. I went there. That was life-changing. I mean, it was so somber. There was no raucous any celebration. I mean, after it was over, do you remember? There was silence, and people filed out quietly. I mean, it was heart-rending and gripping. But if you'll remember and think back in one of the early scenes, and it was almost probably a lot of people didn't understand it. It had a snake slithering on its belly in the garden, and it had Christ, as we come to see, literally crushing its head. Does anybody remember that scene? Powerful, 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 great significance. We'll come back to that. So Isaiah then, much later, but in 7:14 of Isaiah, we read these words. All right then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. You see that connection with the Matthew passage, obviously, this being what they referred to in Isaiah. So think about this. I want you to think about this, because I think sometimes we think we're the only ones waiting, and we're the only ones who get discouraged at time, and I think it helps us to know that we're not alone. So this promise that I just read in Isaiah, historians tell us was given 700 years before Jesus came in the flesh. 700 years. God promised to send a Savior to the world, but the years turned into decades and into centuries, and nothing happened. The promise was given, for sure, definitely, with clarity, but then there was silence. Silence can be awkward, can't it? Silence can test you. No word. And I have a question to ask you about this, and I may have asked this in another series some time ago, but I want to ask you again, just for your thoughts. When God is silent, does that mean he's not there? He's gone? He's absent? We know in the human terms, I mean, of course, you can be with a loved one you know so well, a best friend, a spouse, all the above, whatever, and you can be together for a length of time, and you're both very much there, but there's silence. And there can be communication happening and connection even though there's silence. We understand that in the human sense, but when it comes to God, we convince ourselves that he maybe is not real, that he's absent because of that deafening silence. Well, scholars talk about the intertestamental period, and that's that period of 400 years between the Old Testament and New Testament, when nothing was heard from the Lord. While people waited, nothing seemed to happen. And there must have been people being human, they had hope and they tried to keep that hope alive, but there had to be a lack many times of that internal peace because of external circumstances. The promise was given, but it wasn't delivered. And years and years and years had gone by. And I wonder if they were coming to the conclusion that God was absent because he was silent. Where are you at in that? When we don't see, when we don't understand, and again, I think it's magnified in this season, it doesn't mean that God isn't working. Our understanding is so limited. God's vastness is beyond us. He fills our hearts and minds, and there's so much more. But he's working. The scriptures uses the phrase time and again. He's preparing the way until just the right time, and we'll get into that a little bit more. He's preparing the way. He's working. What's he doing? He's preparing the way. And I wonder if any of that preparation has to do with you and me. I think it does. He's working while we're waiting, while we're looking for him. For his glory and for our good. His glory is always good. As I was thinking about the scripture and writing this, I thought about that Michael W. Smith song, and I'm not sure if he wrote it. I didn't look at the credits, but I remember, does anybody remember when Michael W. came here a few years ago and we had a concert? Does anybody remember that? Yes? Were any of you here for that? A few of you. But he had just released an album that I had not yet heard the songs, and one of the songs they sang that night was this, Sovereign Over Us. Does anybody remember that song? Listen to the words. Listen to the words. So appropriate for right now, real time. Picking up in the middle of it. You're working in our waiting, sanctifying us. Wow. Are those powerful words? God does some of his best work in you and me while we're waiting, sanctifying us, making us more like him, helping us to walk out, to flesh out that surrendered life that we've offered him. It goes on, when beyond our understanding, in the waiting, in other words, I'm adding, you're teaching us to trust. Your plans are still to prosper. You've not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. Aren't those great words? I'm so thankful for anointed songwriters. God drops those things into their heart and mind and delivers them to us through them. Wow. You're working in our waiting, sanctifying us. When beyond our understanding, you're teaching us to trust. When is trust most developed? I think God's trying to tell us it's in the waiting. It's in the wondering. Galatians 4 speaks to this, verse 4. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. That's what's happening in the waiting. The beauty of the gospel, the Christmas story. Another translation says, when the time was right. Another says, when the fullness of time had come. The completeness, the full measure, the perfect time, the precise time. This is the simple and powerful message of the gospel, the good news. When the time was just right, God fulfilled his promise. She will have a son. This child conceived by the Holy Spirit was perfect in every way. Because he was perfect in every way, he became the perfect sacrifice once and for all that provided forgiveness of our sins so we could know him personally and inherit the gift of eternal life. It was all because of this truth. Emmanuel, God is with us. He came, he's with us, but I ask you, is he in you? Have you received him? We sang, let every heart prepare him room. Have you received him? There are times when we get clarity in this life on the why of the wait, I'll say. God allows us to move beyond the waiting time, and we see something and we have an aha moment, and we're so thankful because we suddenly get perspective and we know that Scripture's right. God's timing is exactly right. And if we would have had something when we prayed for it, the timing would not have happened. He knows exactly what to do. He knows best. Perspective changes everything. And for those of us that have unanswered questions, I mean, obviously there's people that died in the faith. The Bible records that they never saw the fruition of the hopes and dreams, the promises that they received. But when they get to heaven, the Bible says that we'll know as we are known. We look through a glass darkly now. We don't understand. But then face to face, we will know as we are known. So we're going to have clear perspective then. But sometimes God allows us perspective now. And I was thinking about that, and so many times in practical ways, God's preparing the way. And if you look back at these years from Isaiah, the 700 years from the end of the Old Testament to the New, there were things that happened. I mean, just practical things like a common language began to be spoken throughout the known world. And the Bible was translated into the people's language. And people began to not just listen, but to be interactive in their learning. And roads and highways were developed so people could travel. The good news could spread. And the Jews themselves were spread throughout the known world of time. God was doing all that preparing, but you never would have thought it would have added up to what it added up to. God was preparing the way. While God's people were waiting, God was working. And so today I remind you, as your pastor for the day at least, if you're waiting, you're in really good company. In fact, it seems to go with so many Bible stories and saints and people that we lift up, beginning with Abraham and Sarah, that waited for 25 years after the promise was given. I mean, it was impossible when it was given to them, much more when it finally came to fruition. On and on to the New Testament, where people that were in their diseases for 12 years, for 38 years before God touched them and answered their prayer. So I just want to remind you again, in your waiting, you're in good company, and it helps us again not to be lonely and feel like we're alone. But I'll say it again, while you're waiting, God is working. Let me ask you another question here, if I could. I know it sounds clever, but do you think that God is into delays? I'm not sure God delays anything. I think God is always on schedule. What seems like a delay to us or a detour to us is not with him. He is on schedule. The Bible says when the time was right, that's God's time. The problem is God operates beyond time and space. He's not limited by those things. And he sees it all from a godly perspective. We don't. So we think he's delayed, but he's not. He's right on time. Right on time. And just because he hasn't doesn't mean he won't necessarily. The question is, to people of faith, are you willing to wait? Are you willing to trust his timing, believing that he's preparing the way, not the least of which is preparation on you and me? Maybe God's preparing the way by doing a work in you. Maybe the work he needs to do in you is connected to answers that are beyond that, to your submission, to your surrender, to your yes. He may be getting ready, but you and I may not be ready yet. We like to think we are, but sometimes we're not. So whatever you do in your waiting, don't waste the wait, because he's teaching us to depend on him, to trust him. He's developing patience within us. He's conforming and transforming our lives day by day, seeking to draw us ever closer to him. Isaiah 64:4 speaks to it. I love this verse. For since the world began, wow, think of it. no ear has heard, and no eye has seen a God like you. Does anybody remember one of my favorite Tommy Walker songs, Only a God Like You? Only a God Like You. Wow. It reads on. No eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him. In our waiting, it's easy to jump ahead and get ahead of him and then blame him when circumstances don't seem to work out. But the Bible says God works for those who wait for him. When we wait, he acts on our behalf. Sometimes he initiates, he responds. As I mentioned earlier, sometimes he interrupts. We're surprised, even though we're waiting, we're surprised at the way he works. But the Bible's telling us today in this story that his timing is always perfect. It's just often not on our schedule. That's a hard one, because we want God to be on our schedule, on our timetable. But he's not, he hasn't been, he never will be. So as your pastor today, I just want to tell you, in this season, he loves, he cares, he's good. And remember, he's there even if he's silent. He's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's all every attribute you can think of, and he's working. And listen, he is always worth the wait. You won't be disappointed in waiting for him like I was for the family gifts year after year. He's saying, hey, will you trust me? Will you trust my love? Will you trust that I'm using your life as a testimony, maybe the most powerful testimony right now in the waiting, because you have faith and you have hope? It's in the testing times that testimonies are the most powerful, is it not? Wow. Christianity is different from all other world religions. It's not about us, it's all about God. He creates us and then he pursues a love relationship with us. And that's what this Christmas story is all about again this year. He loved us so much that when the time was just right, he sent Jesus to interrupt, to resurrect our lives. No matter who, no matter where. So we have the promise, the possibility of peace and hope, even in our waiting. He's working. So you know what? Since he is our example, and since he's working in our waiting, maybe in our waiting we should be working, making our lives count. Saying, God, how do you want to use me while I'm waiting? I'm not just going to sit around and stand around and stew and blame you. I'm going to say, God, what do you want me to be doing in the meantime? Whose life can I touch? How can I be an instrument of your peace in this season? Because I don't know about you, when I focus only on waiting, time seems to drag, double drag by, doesn't it? But when I engage in the Father's business, man, time goes by so quickly. Since he's working while we're waiting, maybe we should work while we wait. For whatever promise he has placed in your heart, don't let go of it. And I finally want to leave this thought with you. It comes out of 2 Peter 3:9. Probably some of you have already thought about this as I've been speaking today. The Lord isn't really being slow. God's not slow. God's not really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, no, no. He is being patient for your sake. Wow. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. So I look at it this way. He's waiting on me to open up my heart for the preparation we need, that I need to make, allow him to make in my life. He's waiting because he cares about my son, my daughter. He cares about my grands. He cares about those who are lost. He's not late. He's waiting for them. Aren't you glad about that? Is anybody glad for a God who waits? He's waiting on the one you love. He's waiting on the ones you care for. He's waiting on you today. You may be in this room. You've come and gone from this and other giving life, life-giving churches, but you've never really opened up your heart, as Sarah sings, and really said, I receive what he's done. You're not going to get to heaven because you know the story. It's only activated when you receive him. Let every heart prepare room by receiving it. That's when heaven and earth rejoices and sings. God forbid that anybody that's been in Worcester Naz over the years could say, I'm sorry when they stand before God. I didn't know. I didn't know the truth. I didn't know. I thought my a godly mom or dad or praying grands or whatever would do. No, no, no. I want them to say, yeah, I heard it crystal clear. I have to say yes to him. And I got to tell you, that's the one greatest frustration of this pastor and any other pastor of Life Giving Church. It's impossible for me to even comprehend or understand why anybody would know the magnificent love of Jesus but yet reject it. I can't figure that out. And continue to chase after things that are empty, pleasures and treasures that won't add up. I'll never understand that. Even though I understand that he's given us free will. How can we neglect so great a salvation? So maybe he's waiting on you today. He's waiting on you to say yes. Sarah's going to sing again. Let every heart prepare him room. Open up your heart. Open up your ears. Open up your eyes. Open up your mind. Believe it. So I'll say it this way as I close. The God you're waiting on is really the God who's waiting on you. Some things are worth the wait. He is worth the wait. Going back to the story that I started with today, wasn't there a popular song somewhere along the line that said the line, anticipation is making me wait? And I realize once again, even as our family will gather and we'll be around the tree and share love and open gifts, that the anticipating of the season, there's joy in that, isn't there? There's joy in the journey. And that's why I want to slow things down sometimes, because I don't want it to all be over. I want us to savor the season. And so I feel that way in a spiritual sense, and we're talking about it, having tender moments so that we won't just rush through another season, but we'll savor the moments and allow them to be life-changing in our hearts and our families. Amen?